This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. High school students at Red Lake Indian Reservation returned to class today, 3 weeks after student Jeff Weiss killed five of his schoolmates, a teacher, a security guard, and himself. Kids were invited in yesterday to collect their belongings and participate in a healing ceremony. The newer portion of the building, the site of Weiss's attack, has been blocked off. All classes will be held in the old part of Red Lake High. Some kids said they were still too scared to go back to school today, but this does mark an important step in a return to normal life as the community struggles to grapple with the wounds of the rampage. So far, the federal investigation into the murders has been going slowly. Authorities say they have found a history of depression in Weiss, but nothing yet points to a clear motive. The son of Red Lake's tribal chairman, Floyd Jourdain, was arrested in connection with the murders. Just last week, officials searched the high school after receiving a tip that a gun might still be on the premises. None was found. Later in the program, till the polio vaccine was announced 50 years ago today. But first, an update on what we know and what we have yet to find out about the tragedy at Red Lake. Also, a closer look at how the community is dealing with the shock of the killings and with the national attention. We'd like to hear from parents and teachers. Have events such as Red Lake influenced school security policy where you live? We also welcome questions about the ongoing investigation, about how the community is coping with the loss. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us at totn@npr.org. To begin, we turn to Dan Gunderson, who's been following this story for Minnesota Public Radio. He joins us from the studios of member station WSCN in Moorhead, Minnesota. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Glad to be here, Neil.
What have you heard about the mood today in Red Lake as students return to class?
Well, what we're hearing is that perhaps about half of the 300 students at Red Lake High returned to class today. Some students were saying it's time to get back. They're ready to get back to class. The high school principal, Chris Dunshee, said a number of students said they just wanted to get back to some class work and some sense of normalcy. But a lot of other students and parents are saying it's just not time for their kids to go back yet. Many of them are still having nightmares. Some feel physically ill just going close to the high school, and so it may be some time before some of those students return to school. But for some of the students, today was a chance to try to go back and sort of reclaim their high school, I think. Yesterday, when they had a healing ceremony, as you mentioned, two of the students who were wounded in the shooting walked through the doors first, and that was something that they really wanted to do, was to be the first students to walk back into the school.
And have all of those who were injured in this incident, have they all been released from the hospital by now?
No, there are still two students who were the most seriously injured who are hospitalized in Fargo, North Dakota, and both of those were students who were shot in the head and had some very serious injuries.
Well, we hope to speak with Principal Dunshee in a few minutes, so let me turn to the investigation with you, Dan. Give us an update on what we know about the investigation. The latest we've heard was that a parent in Red Lake said their child has been subpoenaed to appear before a grand jury. Has that been corroborated yet?
That has not been corroborated. That information was given by an unidentified parent to a local television station. This parent apparently showed the reporter a subpoena that had been received for this student, and he indicated at least 20 other students to go to the Federal Bureau of Investigation office in Bemidji, Minnesota, and give fingerprints, DNA, and information, and also to appear before a grand jury in Minneapolis. Now, none of that's been corroborated, and of course, grand jury proceedings are generally quite secret, and the federal government, because these are juveniles, the federal government has released very little information about this investigation.
And that is, of course, the case also with the son of the tribal chairman who was arrested after this incident.
That's correct. 16-year-old Louis Jourdain was arrested. We know that. That was corroborated by his father, and we understand he's been charged or will be charged with conspiracy in this case, but we don't know any details of what his involvement was or why he was arrested just a few days after the shooting.
Speculation was that he may have known in advance what was going on. Speculation was that others may have known in advance what was going on, but there's nothing firm on that, correct?
Well, we have some information that a lot of computers have been seized, and that seems to be the focus of the FBI investigation. We know that computers were seized from the high school in Red Lake. We've also heard that this has not been corroborated, by the way, by federal officials, but we've heard from several sources that a number of computers were seized from the homes of Red Lake students over the past couple of weeks. And so the speculation is that emails, instant messages, that sort of thing is being investigated to look for links between students, people who may have known, people who may have been involved perhaps in some way with the planning of this incident.
And given that, I guess the motives, whatever made Jeff Weiss decide to do this, they remain murky.
Very much so. We don't have a good sense. We know that Jeff Weiss had some troubles. He had been receiving psychiatric treatment and was on medication for depression. And, you know, there's a lot of reports about him being teased and bullied at school and all of those different things. But really, none of that, I guess, adds up to a clear motive for what happened in this case.
Dan, stay with us. We're going to turn now to Chris Dunchy, the principal of Red Lake High School. He's been an important spokesman for the community over these past few weeks. Principal Dunchy joins us now by phone from his office in Red Lake. Very good of you to take the time on what has to be a very busy day for you.
Thank you.
How did you know when it was going to be time to open your doors?
Well, we didn't know. We've been taking it one step at a time, and we've had a lot of expert advice from a lot of people from around the country, and we've just kind of been formulating a plan as we go. And we've been in touch with our staff, of course. They're the main ones providing input into this, and it was kind of, we use a lot of input from them to say, when are you ready, and when can we get back with the kids? And so that's kind of how that has developed.
And so constant meetings with teachers, with community leaders, with students, I assume, as well.
That's correct, uh-huh.
And was the progress of the investigation at all important to this process?
No, not necessarily, other than we were postponed one day because of, upon the advice of the law enforcement authorities, they had had a tip or something that there might still be some type of weapon in the high school, and they wanted to do a completely thorough search of the building before we had the students and public back in. And so we heeded their advice and did postpone for one day.
This incident happened in the newer portion of your high school. I know that's been blocked off. Is that because of investigative reasons to preserve a crime scene, or because, or you tell me?
No, the investigation is over at the school, and it's just simply blocked off now because that section was heavily damaged, and it'll need to have extensive repair and renovation.
Was there also a thought that this is exactly where these scenes were played out just 3 weeks ago, that kids didn't really need to see it again?
That of course, also enters into our feeling on this as well.
How has all of the media attention affected this?
Well, we're a small rural area in upstate Minnesota, and other than perhaps in the past getting some pretty good media coverage on a great basketball team or two we've had here, this is all new to us.
And a little annoying and a little strange sometimes, too.
Well, I guess that's true. Everyone has their job to do, and we've been trying to cooperate as much as we can as far as the school goes. But and we appreciate the media. We feel it's an opportunity to get our story out as well, that we've got great kids here and a great teaching staff and a wonderful community.
Dan Gunderson said earlier that attendance today was about 50%. Is that right?
No, we didn't know what to expect as far as attendance goes. And we had approximately 90 students show up today, which is just a little less than a third of our student body here. But we have about 320 students altogether, but some of those students are in non-traditional programs for school within a school, and some of them are being homeschooled and that type of thing. So we had 90 people here, there are 90 students here, and we were pretty satisfied with that number.
And again, there was a healing ceremony yesterday. Were classes today when you began them? I mean, well, let's get back to geometry.
No, we had a general session to begin the day, and it lasted probably close to a half an hour. And then the students were turned loose into an abbreviated session schedule where they could have at least 20, 25 minutes to meet with each of their teachers that they would ordinarily have throughout the day, and give the teachers and them time to just get together and share and exchange hugs. And so it was not a normal day of learning here, but a lot of the kids are sharing with us that they're really looking forward to just having a good old boring math class, maybe. Or some, I shouldn't call math boring. It wasn't one of my strongest subjects, and so you know.
Mine neither. So I'm going to let you get away with it. I am told, though, that some of the kids there have said they would like to transfer.
Well, I think that's a normal reaction any time you have something like this. There's just a lot of apprehension and fear out there, and people are going to heal at their own in their own time and at their own pace. And we're hoping as time goes by, more and more of the kids will come back. You know, it's like I've told some of the kids, you can transfer to another school, and if that's what you need to do, then I would recommend that they do that. But, you know, wherever they go, into whatever school they go, we're a family here. We went through this together. And they won't have that same experience in another school that, you know, thankfully they won't have. But they won't have that in common with those other students. And here's where they can come and we can take care of each other here at our school.
We just have a few seconds left in this segment, but I did want to ask that, are there resources there? I mean, you held special classes today, presumably to talk about the situation and getting back to normal. If 90 more students show up tomorrow, are there going to be resources for them too?
Oh, sure. We've got support counselors in place and lots of people here to see to the needs of our kids.
Okay, hang with us. We're going to take a short break now and come back and take your calls on these questions. Our number, if you'd like to join us, is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address, totn@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about the aftermath of the shootings. 3 weeks ago on the Red Lake Reservation in Minnesota, classes resumed today at Red Lake Senior High School. Our guests are Chris Dunchy, the principal of Red Lake Senior High School, and Dan Gunderson, who's reported the story for Minnesota Public Radio. Of course, we'd like to hear from you. Can teachers and the community best help students deal with such a tragedy? How should they do it? Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is totn@npr.org. And let's get a caller on the line. This is Mary. Mary's calling from Wolftown, Virginia.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a local coordinator for a group called Project Discovery. It's a high school extracurricular program with so-called at-risk students. Well, we had just before your tragedy been reviewing the Columbine case, and we talked about Dr. King's statement that as he went through the ghettos and was trying to urge the young people not to use violence to solve their problems, they criticized him and said, "But look at the government. The government uses military, and look what it's doing in Southeast Asia." And he said, "I cannot anymore tell them not to use violence without first raising my voice against the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, the military."
I wonder, Chris Dunchy, are conversations like that happening on the Red Lake Reservation?
I'm not familiar with any of those types of conversations that have taken place, but I do believe that Dr. King was probably right. And Mary, I think that you make a good point.
It's just so sad that our government uses these things and then we tell our kids not to use them, yet role models are role models, positive and negative.
Mary, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thanks for being there. Bye.
And though school shootings of this ilk remain extremely rare, what happened in Red Lake appears to follow a pattern that we have seen before. Joining us now is Bill Bond, former principal of Heath High School in West Paducah, Kentucky, where a 14-year-old boy shot and killed three students and left five others wounded in 1997. And he joins us now by phone. He's on the road in Charlottesville, Virginia. Nice of you to join us today.
Hey.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, Chris. I told you I was going to call you today. I just didn't know we was going to let public radio take care of the bill for us.
So I guess you...
I've got to say something. Bill has just been such a support in all of this. He spent last week with us and came up right away when we called him. And he's been my support here, and I've leaned on him quite heavily. And he'll never know how much I've appreciated his help here.
Well, what have you learned from him?
Well... how to work with the staff and, you know, ideas on how to bring the kids back. And he's just put us in touch with so many things, and the teachers are still talking about Bill. What a great great resource you were last week.
Well, Chris Dunshee, we want to, I know you're incredibly busy today. We wanted to hang you on to introduce you to Bill on the phone. But thanks very much, really, taking the time today. We appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it. And, Bill, we'll be talking.
We'll be talking, and I'll see you in the fall, Chris.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks again.
Chris Dunshee is principal of Red Lake Senior High School, and he joined us by phone from his office there where classes resumed today. And Bill Bond, after the incident at the high school, Heath High School, where you were principal, it was handled differently.
Well, every one of these situations is handled a little differently. It's you have a different community involved each time, and... at Red Lake, you had a Native American culture to consider along with the needs of education, and you had the Native American community, and you had more damage, more physical damage at Red Lake than you did at Heath High School. And each one of them, you know, you can't handle it. Thank goodness, there's no cookie cutter mold that says this is the way you got to handle each situation. It just won't work. You have to deal with the circumstances you have.
And in those circumstances, your school reopened the day after the incident. In retrospect, was that the right decision?
For us, that was the right decision. And for us, the right decision was to return to school immediately, where we could share our grief with each other and where the students could be together and share with each other and share with their teachers and have the counselors. And that was the right step for us. You know, we were, in our situation, we didn't have, at the time of our school shooting, I'd never heard of anyone that had a school shooting. So I was just doing the best I could with the situation I had. And I didn't have any outside advice and counsel on what I should do or what I shouldn't do.
Well, last week when you were up in Red Lake meeting with, among others, Principal Dunshee, I assume you saw all the other people there who were there to help and provide resources.
Oh, sure. Sure. I'm afraid I've seen some of those people, like Marie Wong. I've seen Marie Wong several times. I've seen her at Santee and San Diego and at other meetings, and it's one of those situations where she has her role and I have my role, and we do bump into each other sometimes at these disasters.
The incident in Paducah all those years ago, how has the community, give us some perspective on what's happened since then?
Well, you know, you were talking about kids going to homeschool. I remember when it happened at our school, there were 18 kids in the county, within the McCracken County, that went on homeschool. There's not one single kid from Heath High School left on homeschool, not one. Every kid that was wounded returned to that school and did graduate from that school. Not one girl left for 6 months and then returned. Every kid that was wounded that day, no matter how severely, even if they're paralyzed and in wheelchairs, all with except one has graduated from college, and he'll graduate next month. All of those kids, everyone involved, with the exception of the three girls that died and the shooter himself, returned to school and did graduate, and the vast, vast majority of them have gone on to graduate from college and get on with their lives the best they could.
And as far as you can see, Is that part of the pattern being repeated at other schools as well?
Well, it's hard to, it's different in each community. The college expectations in Red Lake wouldn't be what they would be at Heath High School, but I suspect that the kids at Red Lake will return and be tough and follow through with their education and be successful.
Thank you.
When things get, kids are very resilient, and when things get tough, kids can get tough too. It's much harder for adults and parents to deal with a tragedy like this than it is the kids. There's more fear, more anxiety in the parents.
Bill Bond, thank you for taking the time today to talk to us.
Sure.
Bill Bond, former principal of Heath High School in West Paducah, Kentucky, currently with the National Association of Secondary School Principals, and he joined us by phone from Charlottesville, Virginia, where he is presently on the road. Still with us is Dan Gunderson of Minnesota Public Radio, and let's get a caller on the line, and this is Marissa. Marissa's calling from Reno, Nevada.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I apologize. I'm on the cell phone, and hope that we don't get cut off. I'm calling in because I worked with the Secret Service for years, and I'm one of the authors of the research the Secret Service and Department of Education conducted on school shootings. We finished up our data collection in 2000, but a lot of what we saw in the Red Lake shooting is so similar to what we've seen in other school shootings around the country. And one thing I just wanted to raise, and I'm sorry Bill Bond isn't on the line still because I think he'd echo this sentiment, is that we really feel strongly that kids are such an important part of the solution for preventing school shootings going forward. We saw in so many cases that other kids knew about shootings beforehand, and it sounds so much like this is a lot of what the FBI is investigating in the Red Lake case, but to put a positive spin on it, one of the things that we've seen schools do successfully is find ways to reduce barriers to children sharing information with adults when they hear something that raises some concern.
Dan Gunderson, let me bring you into the conversation. Is that what the discussion is in Red Lake, at least part of the discussion?
Well, I'm not really sure. There's been a lot of talk among parents about how to get kids more involved, and there's been talk about getting parents more involved in the schools. One of the proposals is to find some money to hire some parents who will be hall monitors at the high school and, put some friendly faces sort of in the hallways for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But people have asked that question, and parents have said, you sort of, at some point, you sometimes kind of lose touch with your kids and what they're doing with their friends. I mean, they're talking on the computer and they're off doing things together. I mean, Red Lake is a very close-knit community, and almost everyone there is related to each other in some way. You know, everyone who lives on that reservation nearly lost a relative in the shooting or knew someone who was, wounded. So it's a very close-knit community. It's maybe similar to a very small town anywhere in the country where a lot of people know each other. And so, you would think that in a community like that, if kids were talking about a plan, the information would get shared with someone. But, of course, the investigation maybe will eventually tell us what the case really was. But at this point, it doesn't seem that adults in the school had any inkling this was going to happen.
And Marissa, let me ask you, again, your research didn't cover Red Lake, obviously, but given your background, what are you looking for next?
One of the things that we think is really important is to, from this point forward, to put into place a system where kids can bring information forward without necessarily a penalty of getting someone else in trouble. I mean, to be able to have a screening system where information can come forward from a child without the child thinking, if I tell an adult in school, I know I'm definitely going to get my friend in trouble. Because that way you can get information to come out in a way that can be investigated without a child thinking that I've got a terrible decision to make. I'm worried my friend might be thinking about doing something harmful, but if I tell an adult, he'll be expelled from school or, he'll definitely get in trouble. The importance we see is in balancing public safety for the school with supporting the particular child who may be feeling suicidal, who may be feeling desperate, who may be feeling like violence is the only option they have.
Marissa, thank you very much for the phone call.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. We're talking today about Red Lake, Minnesota, the reservation 3 weeks after the incident where 10 people were left dead, including the shooter, Jeff Weiss. And classes resume today at Red Lake Senior High School on the reservation. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation, which is coming to you from NPR News. The community in Red Lake is going to have to cope with the emotional toll of these killings from now on. Joining us now by phone is Dr. Kathleen Annette, the Bemidji Area Director of the Indian Health Service, and she joined us by phone from her office in Bemidji, Minnesota. Nice of you to join us today.
Thank you.
What has the IHS done to address the psychological impact that these shootings have had?
Well, the Indian Health Service, immediately, we have on-site counselors. We have three that are at the hospital, and they were immediately, of course, engaged, as they always are.
Mm-hmm.
By day two, we'd identified the needs for a number of other counselors, and the Red Cross came in immediately, provided some of this for the acute crisis, and Indian Health Service, within days, had deployed 15 psychologists, psychiatrists, and other mental health social workers to the reservation to provide support,
mm-hmm.
both in the communities. And we're geared up now to provide that type of support as needed in the school system.
How long do you think that support is going to have to stay in?
Well, I think what's happened is this event certainly stressed the current system and raised really the baseline of need. And we've identified that there's certain staffing that's going to be needed at the hospital, in the community, and also at the schools. And we'll be filling in those gaps until resources are identified and staff actually hired to fulfill those needs.
So this is an ongoing program, and you're looking for permanent solutions.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Is that based on experience of previous schools? Again, Bill Bond was talking with us earlier today about his experiences.
Yes, we've talked to several experts throughout the country, and we've had several, again, local psychiatrists and psychologists. Some have had this type of experience. We've had people that worked in the Columbine situation on the reservation, and we've received assistance in looking at staffing and needs now and in the future. And by taking those numbers, we're able to get, I think, a good handle on what will help in the long term satisfy what I see as an escalating need, at least for a short period of time.
There is an important distinction between any of these other incidents and Red Lake, the presence of this incident on an Indian reservation. I wonder, to what extent have medical professionals been sensitive to that?
They all have. The tribe met with me initially on day two and asked if we could get deployed, number one, people that are sensitive, and I guess even more importantly, that are credentialed and licensed, capable professionals able to deal with this. And they had asked if we could get other Indian professionals and or professionals from the Indian Health Service or the Commissioned Corps Office who had worked with different cultures and different groups and were sensitive. And we've been very fortunate. We've had crews of up to 15 that have come in, and they're deployed for 2 weeks at a time. And without question, they've all had some experience in dealing with or are Indian themselves in terms of Indian culture and people.
Now, your services go to a lot more people than just the students. But I wonder, what do you make of attendance at Red Lake Senior High today, 90 kids showing up?
You know, that's a start. And again, I think every student and family has to decide for themselves in this particular tragedy when the best timing is. We'll see a spectrum of people that are very traditional, and some of the ceremonies and mourning that is required may be longer than 2 weeks. Others are ready to go back today. And I think having the school open and being well and assuring safety and providing that is so important. And I think the tribal council made the correct decision in opening the schools, and they did consult with the community and with students prior to that decision-making.
Hmm. We have a couple of... Can you stay with us over the break?
Sure.
Okay, great. Dan Gunderson, we're going to keep our promise to you and let you go. We wanted to thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome, Neil.
Dan Gunderson is the Bureau Chief of Minnesota Public Radio and joined us from the studios of member station WSCN in Moorhead. We have a couple of calls that we want to put to Dr. Kathleen Annette when we come back from the break. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. We're also going to be talking about memories of a turning point in medicine 50 years after the development of the polio vaccine. We want to hear your stories about that. Do you remember the days before the vaccine, or that time perhaps you lined up for the first time to get the vaccine in your high school or grade school cafeteria? Our number is 800-989-8255. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, and we're wrapping up our conversation with Dr. Kathleen Annette, Regional Director of the Indian Health Service, who's with us from her office in Bemidji, Minnesota, just south of the Red Lake Indian Reservation. Of course, 3 weeks ago today, the shooting incident there that left 10 people dead. Let's get some callers on the line, and we'll begin with Ralph, and Ralph is calling from Würzburg in Germany.
That's right. Hey, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
First of all, my background, I'm a captain, but I graduated from high school in Pine Forest in North Carolina. This was national news back in 1987 when there was a shooting over there. I think one of the big mistakes that everybody keeps making, all these experts, is they keep calling them children and referring to them as a child and children when they're not children, they're young adults. And the second thing I wanted to say is that that they've got to look out for future violence because people will feed off of the reputation of having a shooting there. At least that's what happened with us after we had a shooting there, and then, you know, violence perpetuated afterwards.
What happened?
The shooting?
No, after the what was the violence afterwards?
The violence afterwards, some say it was different causes. You know, some say it was related to the deployment afterwards because of Just Cause and also, Desert Storm later on.
Uh-huh.
But also the people fed off the reputation, oh, you went to that high school. Oh, so, you know, you've got to watch out for such and such. And then, you know, little other high schools got a little, you know, I shouldn't say envious, but kind of envious of the reputation. You know, it's kind of like the bubble of reputation that Shakespeare talks about. You got to look out for that. People are going to feed off of the publicity from it, and then more students later on are going to think, okay, now I'm at this high school, whatever, I got to be tougher. And that's something that occurs also with it that some of the experts haven't really addressed. Other kids might get, you know, nervous later on and bring, you know, weapons of their own to school. That occurred also after the shooting had occurred there.
Dr. Annette,
other shootings.
I know you're dealing with the community at large, but I wonder, not specifically the school, but I wonder if these questions have come up.
You know, I think there's always a real challenge in looking at, quote, copycat issues. But I think the real challenge is to look at all of the children and young adults in our communities and seeing what can we do to really provide the environment where this type of potential of violence is recognized early, where we even prevent this type of violence. And I think what the reservation in particular is doing right now is looking at our future. And the questions that I'm hearing emerging now that the healing phase has really started is, what can we do for our youth? Mm-hmm. And you'll find many times that Indian elders do refer to people in their 20s and 30s as children, as my children. So I don't think we mean to be offensive at all if indeed that's how we refer to our youth. But in many ways, they are our children.
I wanted to ask about another point, though, that Ralph raised. Is it going to be difficult the next time the Red Lake basketball team goes on the road? I mean, is there going to be a stigma, a reputation?
You know, that's for the future to hold. I really would hope not. I think that the communities, it's amazing how they have been able to respond here locally. There's been such an outpouring, and there's been people that have come forward saying, we're going to support this team. We've had the Columbine people come forward and say, you know, what will happen is your team will go out and be strong, and you'll be shocked at the amount of support you get both internally and externally. So I'm talking about the history from the people from the schools that came from Columbine and addressed the school board just a week and a half ago.
Ralph, thanks very much for the phone call.
Oh, no problem.
Appreciate it.
You guys have fun.
Okay.
All right.
Dr. Annette, thank you for your time today. I know you're very busy as well.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Kathleen Annette is Regional Director of the Indian Health Service and joined us by phone from her office in Bemidji, Minnesota.